I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, and we're going to get started here. I wanted to take a moment before we actually read out of Matthew 10 and talk to you about something, though I didn't prepare any notes. I mean, I have some, I didn't bring them, but about the difference between crucifying your flesh or whether it's an evil spirit. And I would say the simplest way that I can explain it to you is this. If you are a disciplined person at some level, and you have a prayer life, and you have word time, and you have worship time, and you daily meet with God to have interaction with Him, and you something just won't let go of you, then you probably need deliverance. See, and you need to be discerning to see whether it's just your flesh, which it could be, or it's demonic. But I would also add this final thought, that if you don't deal with things that come in your life and keep appearing and keep coming back and back and back, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's pretty evident the devil's built a stronghold in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you might need some help to get out of it. Now, Dr. Summerall, and I have his material in my book. I'm not talking about it right now, but he's got 7 steps to possession. And he starts out with the earlier stages, and then he progressively moves through it. And he says the first 5, you can set yourself free.
Amen.
Thanks for your enthusiasm. But if you get in the latter couple stages of that, where you're obsessed with a thought or something, and you're driven, then probably you're going to need somebody that has more faith and understands this ministry to rebuke and take authority over that spirit to get it out of you. And then you need to walk that out day by day. How do you do it? Well, praying every day, fellowshipping with God, reading the Bible, and in particularly, I'm going to tell you, studying this subject. Because we found out last night in one of the scriptures, Matthew 12, that when the evil spirit comes out, the unclean, he seeks rest and finds none, and he comes back to his original habitation, which in most cases is a human being, sometimes in animals, but primarily in humans, because we're the highest representation of God on this planet.
Yeah.
We're made in the image of God, animals are not.
Yeah.
So if the devil can get a hold of somebody's life, he can express himself more freely into the highest expression through a human being.
Amen.
So that's why they seek to embody themselves with us and things like that. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right, I want to read this in Matthew 10. It says, when he had called unto him, verse 1, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Notice that Jesus, when he sent people out, and of course this is true of the 70, later we read a little bit about it last night, in Luke 10, you know, where it says, nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yeah.
And you ought to think about that a lot when you think about this realm. Nothing's going to hurt you. Quit. I'm just saying as sweet as I can say, quit being afraid of the devil.
Right.
If you think he has the upper hand, you won't stand up against him.
That's right.
But you had to know that you're seated with Christ. You're not a sub-heir, you're a joint heir. I'm going to say that until I go home.
Yeah.
Not home to Indiana, home with the Lord. You're not a sub-heir, you're a joint heir.
Yes.
So the same authority Jesus has, you have right now in this world.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, so he gives them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. Then verse 7 and 8, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So one of the things that Jesus told him to do was to cast out demons.
Yeah.
Just bringing that to our attention here as we start tonight. You listening to me?
Yeah.
I want to begin tonight talking to you about types of demons, and then we're going to take the second part of the message on how demons gain entrance. And, you know, you have to shut all the doors.
Yeah.
That's a key to staying free, shutting all the and keeping them shut. Don't get too inquisitive about something and open the door because the devil's waiting. We also learned yesterday, I think I quoted it, I don't think we turned to it in Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. So you could be angry and not get into sin, but if you don't correct it, you will be in sin. It says, give no place to the devil. Right. We'll talk in depth about that later tonight. But I want to talk to you to begin tonight about different types of spirits. And this isn't an all-inclusive list, but I want to deal with some of them. Number one, and I wrote in my book, I believe there can be demon spirits for every sickness, mental illness, emotional instability, and every unholy trait. So that's a broad spectrum, what I'm saying here. There could be a spirit behind things. This chapter, I said in the book, may not include every type of evil spirit, but it will help and others if you understand them and recognize their activities. Number one, there's a spirit called a lying spirit. And the verse for that is John 8:44. I'm going to try to move quickly because I want to get to the second part of my message. So John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, for he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and that and the father of it. And so that's why I say don't let devils talk, because they're liars.
Amen.
And they'll try to intimidate you. And, you know, I just don't fool with people. If they don't want my help, then I just let it go. I used to be more adamant about it, but I'm not so much anymore. If you don't want help, then forget it. You know, I'm being not being mean, but you can't force. See, you know, this is the way I see it. When I first started teaching this, Sister Sue was bringing Betty up to the altar to get delivered, but Sister Betty didn't want delivered. So she didn't get delivered. I mean, I could rebuke the devil off anybody, whatever, but at the same time, if you're not going to pay attention and want to stay free, it wouldn't do you any good. In fact, you may end up, like we learned last night, in a worse state. So you can't kick your friends out. If you like being this involved in this, so a lying spirit. Christians who lie are buddying up to the devil. He may not be their father, but they're certainly acting like his children.
Yeah.
So sometimes people get that on them, and I think they're unaware almost. And they just lie, look you right in the face and lie to you, just bold-faced lie to you. You ever had anybody do you that way?
Yes.
Yeah. That's called a lying spirit. Now, again, let me make a little comment before I go further. Just because you did something one time doesn't mean you're possessed. Okay, you know, we're talking about the flesh versus demons, and we know that Galatians 5 talks about the flesh and lists a bunch of things: adultery, fornication, immorality, lasciviousness, which just means no restraint. That could be for a person that can't control their eating either.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, no restraint. They're just wide open to anything. And all those things are just what it says. They're fleshly things. But if you don't check those things in your life and go over a mental checklist, and you're starting to yield to that, you better take authority over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody listen?
Yes.
So a lying spirit is a spirit that operates through somebody, and they consistently lie about a lot of things. Number two, a spirit of infirmity. That's listed in Luke 13:11. I'm just going over just some abbreviated things here to help us. And I believe that a spirit of infirmity usually is a person that cannot get well. It's like you pray one week for their sinuses and they get healed. The next week their back's bothering them. You pray for that and that gets healed and their stomach bothers. You pray for that and then their intestines mess up. You pray for that, then they get migraine headaches. Then they got eye trouble. Then they got limb trouble. They got joint problems. You know, it just stays in different manifestations. I call that a spirit of infirmity. In Luke 13, it was a lady who was bowed over and couldn't raise her back up. But sometimes a person seems to go from sickness to sickness to sickness. That's a spirit of infirmity. And you have to deal with that spirit and rebuke him. And I'd like to say something just a minute about your families, not to criticize. But, you know, if Grandpa had something in him, it's likely it got down on Dad and then on you if you're a male. Or a female, either one. And it runs in your family. You know, you go to the doctor, what'd your dad die of? He's still alive. What'd your mother die of? You know, because even the medical world understands certain things genetically and all. But a lot of times it's a spiritual thing. It's a spirit that follows a family around and continues to manifest. You know, we commonly say as a slur, you know, he's a spitting image of his dad or she's a spitting image of her mother. And that's not a compliment normally when we're talking like that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. because something's being passed down. And unless somebody stands up and breaks that thing. Now, my wife and I, when she got pregnant with my daughter, I had my daughter first, we put a piece of paper, and her and I sat at the kitchen table in our little dumpy house that was near the end of the world. I told you about it last night. And her and I listed everything we could think of in our families that we knew about. Lung problems, heart problems, mental illness. I had some people in my background that was in the occult. And she had other people in her family had other issues. And we wrote it all down on a piece of paper. And I wrote Galatians 3:13 over it and 14 and prayed one time. And I said, I'm breaking any kind of curse that would try to come on my children. I'm making a stand against it right now in faith. And my children will not fall prey to that.
Amen.
And then I did my best as a father to teach them how to live strong.
Yeah.
You know, they're all grown now. And when they were about 13... I think this will help you. They were about 13. I set my daughter down. I said, now, honey, you know, Daddy's carried you so far, and I can always agree with you the rest of your life normally, but I cannot carry you entirely on my faith your whole life. In time you get 16, it's going to be more on your side equally with me, or even more so as you get older. So you better get in the Bible.
Amen.
And you better know what I know.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't being mean, trying to help my daughter so she doesn't think, well, Dad's got it. Well, Dad does have it a lot of times. And she still confides in me. You know, she had that brain tumor, and she called me, not her mother, because she knew Diana would, you know, my wife would have more of a hard time with that. She called me from the doctor's office, said, Dad, this was on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. Dad, they found a huge tumor in my brain. They want to operate Monday morning. This is Friday night at 6 o'clock. Well, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, we did take the boys. They have three boys. And she got a call while we were having lunch that Friday from the eye department where I go. And I said, you know, because she was seeing double, and I said, maybe you need to go see my eye doctor. So she went, and they put her with another guy that does special MRIs and stuff on your brain that worked for them. And he called her at lunch, said, bring your husband and come over here immediately. So we knew something was up, but we had no idea.
Right.
And 5 or 6 hours later, she's calling me and saying, Dad, I got a huge tumor in my brain, and the surgeon wants to operate. In fact, the guy that saw it first, my daughter and son-in-law said he was falling apart trying to tell him. Because, you know, my daughter is just 30-some years old then.
Yeah.
She's 36 now. That was about 4 years ago, I think. I don't remember exactly. And she said, Dad, they want to do surgery on me. Money. They sent her to the surgeon immediately from their office to his office. And I said, well, we're going to get on the other side of that, honey.
Yeah.
That was my response. We're going to get on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we did. And she did.
Amen.
But see, you got to teach your children to learn that you can't. Now, Dad and Mom can believe God. We can always agree with our children as we stay in faith and they grow in faith. But, you know, you can't just carry somebody entirely. I don't know if you're listening to me tonight. I've had some good friends that died young, and I tried to turn it, and I was all upset and prayed, and the Lord said, stop that. Stop what? Stop your crying. You're not going to turn it for this person. They're coming home. They had plenty of time to correct it, but they didn't take the correction. So, you know, you got to be a big boy at that point. You can either keep crying, but you're not going to change it. So there's no sense in that. You're just going to waste some Kleenex. I'm being serious with you. And so, you know, when I know I can turn it, I'll do my best to try to turn it. But sometimes God puts his foot down and said, no, you're not going to turn it, Michael. He's told me that several times in my life, unfortunately, because I love the people I was praying for. But the Lord said, no, you're not going to do it. I know you know how to believe God with me, but, you know, that's what the Lord said. But he said, you're not going to turn it. I told them about this many times over, and they refused to take the correction. So they're coming home. I know you love them, but just say goodbye and be sweet about it. You're not going to turn it.
Yeah.
All right, moving right along. I need a pat on the back from Pastor Mark here. That's pretty good teaching. I know you didn't want me to say that, but it's the truth. And quit being all upset because somebody goes home. You think I'm heartless, I'm just smart. I just learned the hard way that you cannot change everybody's life the way you think it should be. Remember Betty bringing Sue up to the altar to get delivered? Well, Sue didn't want delivered. That was Betty's idea. Trying to talk her girlfriend into getting in the prayer line. She didn't get anything. Because she was, religious or adamant or rebellious towards me and towards the movement. Anyway, moving right along, I better hurry up here. Here's another spirit of divination. This is where people are involved in occultic practices, and we'll talk a little further about that later. But, you know, Acts 16 says that she said, these are the servants of the Most High God, and yet what she said was accurate, but it bugged Paul. But he didn't know at first because it wasn't revealed to him. I'm talking about Paul and that little girl that was a, you know, palm reader, tarot card person, or whatever you want to call it, 900 number. We're going to tell you about your love life. We're going to tell you about money. We're going to tell you, you know, God would tell you about all that if you'd listen to him. You don't have to call anybody. Just come to church. How easy do you got it? That's what I want to know. How easy? Just show up at church and be fed by great pastors. But a spirit of divination sometimes is a problem for people, especially the occultic world. And they say now Halloween is the second most money-grossing holiday in America. Anyway, then there's seducing spirits. And by that, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, it's talking about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are the doctrines of devils? What the devil says about anything is a doctrine he's promoting. And he's always wrong. And I mean, the body of Christ seems like they're just covered up with this stuff. Yes. You know, occasionally I try to watch Christian TV. I don't know if it's a useless cause or not, but he's talking to you. Yeah. And they'll introduce apostle so-and-so, an apostolette, and a prophet, and a prophetess, and a couple bishops. And they start talking, and they don't even make sense. I am not that stupid. I'm telling you, I don't know nuclear fission, but I do know my Bible, and that's nonsense. They're not even making sense to me. Bishop and apostles and prophets. I mean, somebody needs to figure something out. But when I talk about seducing spirits, at least you think it all has to do with sexuality. It does not. Of course, it's included, but it's not exclusive to that. Seducing spirits try to draw people into false doctrines and unscriptural teachings. Such as, the Lord put this on you to teach you something. Yes. That's a doctrine of a devil. Yeah. Anyway, moving right along. I'm going to have to get Pastor Mark pat me on the back if you don't say amen once in a while. This is not doom and gloom, but it is a reality, and we've got to understand it. Here's another one, the spirit of heaviness or depression. And Isaiah 61 talks about that in depth, and later Jesus would quote that in Luke 4:18. You know the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captive, healing of sight to the blind. But in Isaiah's recording of this, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, he says, Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That sounds like he's giving you something in place of depression. And then he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So if you begin to get under a cloud or a feeling of heaviness on you, you need to praise God. Then I wrote this, have you noticed the number of medications on the market for depression? Why do you think that is? It's because those spirits are manifesting in people's lives and the only remedy they know is medicine. See, that's all they know about. And I put in here, you know, I am not against medicine. Use that medication if you must, but get your faith around the healing that your covenant offers you. And get off of that stuff eventually. If you need to take it for a season, take it. According to the Mental Health of America, depression affects more than 21 million children and adults in our nation. It's the leading cause of disability in the United States for individuals 15 to 44 years old. Annually, lost productivity for people suffering from depression costs the United States $31 billion. The impact of this spirit is not only mental and emotional, it's financial as well. The reach of this spirit, however, is beyond those three areas. Depression also works closely with the spirit of suicide. Annually, 30,000 suicides take place with depression as their principal cause. And I have a son, I have three sons that all pastor in the same city in Nashville. It's a huge city, so there's plenty of room for sinners, you know what I mean? They don't They're not down the street from each other. But nonetheless, my son, Pastor Rogan, he said to me, he invited me to come in March. He said, I want you to talk about deliverance because there's an epidemic of suicides in my city, and especially among teenagers.
Wow.
And he has a lady that works in a hospital. It's not just a mental hospital, it's a hospital. And she told him a few days, he called me after she told him this, we brought in four teenagers and only able to save one of them, resuscitate them. The other three died. And Pastor Mark here, he pastors an hour north of me, and he's got a praise and worship leader that is a professor at IU in Bloomington. And he says, he's a music professor, teaches music at college level, that the children, the young people, this would be a little older, maybe 18 through 28 or something, they're coming to him in groves saying, I need help. I'm thinking about killing myself or something to that effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's starting to... And, you know, I saw evil powers being released against our nation and the earth. It's been a few years now. I don't remember what year that was. I just saw them coming in groves to the earth. And I said, Lord, what is that? I know that's demonic. He said, yeah, and one of the things is the spirit of fear, and one of it's the spirit of suicide and depression. So we're starting to manifest now. It's a kind of a ball that's rolling, and we've got to do something to stop that. Help people see there's something to live for. My goodness. So anyway, spirit of suicide is very real. That's the next one, Mark 9, 20 through 23. And it's the story of the father who brought his son, Mark 9, 20 through 23. And it says, and oftentimes it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now, if you just observe this boy from a distance, you would think he's just mental. If he threw himself in a fire or threw himself in a river or a lake or something, trying to kill himself. But it was a spirit of suicide on that boy. Are you listening to me? And don't let that, we're not being negative. We're just talking about major spirits that operate and how that, and then I was talking about a young lady in my church. I don't know what grade she was in when she first came to us. I'm going to say a junior in high school, I don't remember. And she came with a friend of some family that was with me then. They left, but anyway, she stayed. But she was at camp, and I don't know if any of you were in that youth camp with me that time, and her name is Brianna. And I was preaching along, and I saw this spirit on her. And I stopped and said, step out here a minute. And I laid hands on her and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. She fell on the floor and got delivered. And she got up in our church, a very attractive young lady, by the way, but she was so depressed about the way she looked. See, the devil, he don't even make sense. My wife and I were talking, and we asked her, would you feel comfortable sharing this with the congregation? And she was cutting herself. She got scars where she was cutting herself, trying to do herself in. And now she's a very strong believer in our church. She's a young lady, probably 21, 22, I don't know exactly. But she got delivered and has stayed delivered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the spirit of suicide has one goal, to get you out of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, if the devil can get you out of the earth, then you're no threat to him now. Because you either, if you're born again, you go into heaven. And, of course, the other would be a reality, too. If you're not, you're going to hell. I don't know why you'd want to go there. I sure don't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we're talking about these things because we've got to offer people help when they need help. Here's another one here. Lunatic spirits. In Mark chapter 5, talks about them. And you know, Jesus went out by the tombs, Mark 5, and there was a guy that was cutting himself with stones. What would we call that? We would call that masochism, I believe, when you inflict pain on yourself. A sadist is somebody that inflicts pain on other people. A masochist does it too. And this boy was like that. He's sleeping out among the dead. Nobody could control him. He'd break chains. But when Jesus showed up, he ran to him and bowed down, and Jesus began to deal with him and rebuke that thing and come out of him. Remember, it went into the pigs. Everything. So, you know, we're talking about spirit, and they could come in a lot lesser form of mental illness. All right, just talking to you. Then there's an antichrist spirit. What would that be? Anything that's against the anointing. You try to talk to your relatives about speaking in tongues, being spirit-filled, they laugh at you. Most of them get mad at you. Talk to them about divine healing, trying to help them. They never heard that. They want to argue. What about Job? Well, if you got an hour, I'll talk to you about Job. I can talk to you about Paul's thorn. I've studied all that out and got all my questions answered over a period of time. I didn't do it in a day or a week, but I got all the answers I needed from the Bible. And that's where we're going to find all the answers for these things. You with me? You're kind of quiet on me. Should have had a coffee bar tonight, I guess. For this Antichrist spirit, it's 1 John 4 and 3. And the reason I say that's a spirit that's against the anointing, Antichrist, it's not just talking when it uses the words Christ. You know, Jesus, that's not his name.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He is Jesus Christ, but that's the power that was on Jesus.
Yes.
That's talking about the anointing that came on him that empowered him to do what he did, or he couldn't have done it either.
Yes, sir.
Because he came as a man to this planet. Virgin born, but still a man. All right, just so you know. But an Antichrist spirit is it fights that anointing. Now, I'm teaching on deliverance. I'm not teaching on revival like Pastor Joel was here, or Brother Joel. And I heard he did a great job, but I'm not teaching on that. So you're not laughing or jumping and running. That's okay. I'm with you. I'm talking about something a lot more serious right now. But all the teaching is needed. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying, see, whatever we preach, that's what God confirms. And we've got to have some revelation about how to help others. Even if we need help, we can get it. But if we other people, we should be able to help them. Yeah. You know, like people want to drag somebody to me all the time. Well, I'm here. So if you need me, I'm here. But I'll be going home Monday, so you know, jump in. And then there's a spirit of whoredom. The Bible teaches Hosea 4 and 12. That could be spiritual, but it also could mean physical. I remember a young lady in my church. I think she'd been married to three different men that I'm aware of. And that lady just seemed like she would just fall prey to that every few years and run off with somebody, another man. And she came for help in my office, her and her husband. I said, put your hand on your wife's belly. Watch this. I said, come out of her. And there's a big old hard ball started rolling around inside her belly. I said, you got the spirit of adultery on you, lady. I'm going to rebuke it. It's going to come out. You're going to be free. Of course, she's married to the guy now and stayed married to him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What if I hadn't discerned that? What if she'd had nobody to go to? It ain't going to work praying a sweet prayer and laying your hands on her and saying, Father, help her to not commit adultery. She's consumed with it. She's beyond herself. The devil's helping her, and she's driven. Oh, and some men have that on them, too. They had a problem. All right, we're just talking about. Anyway, praise the Lord. Oh, gosh. I remember a lady came to my church. Gosh, young lady, and she would wear the most provocative clothes and kind of parade around, and she was in our young people's group, and I started getting phone calls that maybe she was coming on to a couple of our young men, and she would come and ask for a ride home from one of our young men. So this happened two or three times. I brought her in and talked to her with my secretary, and I said, I want to know what your problem is. What do you mean, Pastor? I said, well, you dress like a hooker. And you flaunt whatever you got. And listen, you're an attractive young lady, but let me help you. You're not right. And you know what she told me? Well, my dad committed adultery. I said, what does that have to do with you? I'm not your father. I'm trying to be your pastor. Let me help you.
My God.
And I talked pretty straight to her, and she stomped out of my office. That's the last time I saw her.
Wow.
Because I said, you're not going to end up in bed with some of my young married men or single men. And I just want you to know I've put the word out on you. Nobody's to give you a ride home unless it's another woman.
Amen.
Well, anyway, moving right on. So you want to be pastored. That's part of it. But she didn't want pastored. And I said, honey, you know, I was looking for a girl like you when I was a drug dealer. And I can tell you exactly what I would. I'd use you and toss you aside and went to the next quest. Just talking straight to
it.
And there's 100 guys out there that would do the same thing to you and just use you. And you're looking for love in all the wrong places, baby. All right. I'm not going to play a country song for you. All right. Then there's the spirit of the world that gets on people. Hallelujah. And, you know, it just, when you have the spirit of the world, you act like the world. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 talks about that. Now, I had another lady in my church the first time she showed up just to talk to you about the spirit of the world. She was from the world. She had on tight leather pants. You know, normally ladies don't wear tight leather pants in my church unless they're a motorcycle chick. And she wasn't. You guys will catch up with me sometime tonight. You seem like you're lagging behind. I keep pulling you along. But she straightened up. She got under the word. And we talked, you know, we talked about family and husbands and wives and women and men, how to dress and not. You could still, like the girl that was in my office that I told that stomped out. I said, listen, I'm a man, but you could talk to my secretary. She's a woman. If you have questions beyond what you feel comfortable talking to me, call her. But you're not going to dress like you dress and parade around my church acting like, wouldn't you like some of this?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tolerate it. Why? Because I don't want predators in my church. And you're either going to straighten up or ship out. Yeah, I mean, a lady came to me one time and made an appointment. I knew nothing about her. She was new to me, her and her husband, and had two children. She sat down with me, and she opened her mouth. Pastor Johnny, oh my God. She opened her mouth and started telling me and my secretary what her husband asked her to do sexually. And I went, da 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 da. Please stop. I said, I'm not a sex therapist. I'm a man of God. I don't need to hear any more. But this is what I would do if I were you, lady. I would go home and serve him divorce papers today. Based on what you've just told me. But I tell you what, I will give him and you the benefit of the doubt. Does he know you're here seeing me? No. I said, don't tell him. I'm going to call him personally and have him come sit down and talk to me.
There you go.
And if he don't want to comply with anything, then I'll have to see what I do. Well, I brought him in and I sat down. And I said, now, your wife came to see me. I didn't ask her to come see me. And she told me and my secretary some things you had asked her to do as a Christian woman. And you know what? You're out to lunch. And I said, I'm willing to work with you to restore your marriage if you want me to. But if you're not going to change, he said, you can go to hell.
Oh.
Wow.
I said, well, I'm not going, but you're going if you don't stop this nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
I said, if I was your wife, I'd drop you like a bad habit today.
Right.
And I told her this to her face with my secretary. I said, man, you got two young children in your home. And he has a computer and she doesn't have access to what he's doing. I said, I guarantee he's watching porn.
Yeah.
Am I getting too close to anybody? Don't say amen right now. Yeah. Yeah, he said, go to hell. And I said, I'm not going to do it. But I said, listen, I am not going to allow you to be in my church because you're a predator.
Yeah.
If you would talk that way to your own wife and ask her to do these things, you're not right. I don't even think you're saved.
Yeah.
But if you want help, I'll try to help you if you're willing to comply with everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got up and walked out, and I said, just keep walking. Don't come back. I don't need you here.
Yeah. Amen.
And she left with him.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. No, can't figure.
Yeah, he can't figure that either. I can't either. Wow. Here's the spirit of error. There's another spirit that operates. And I got to hurry up here. You guys have to say amen quicker.
Amen.
1 John 4 and 6. 1 John 4 and 6 talks about the spirit of error, attempts to get people into error concerning the scriptures. And I said I dealt with this in my church before. I had a children's church worker, and he told the kids that even the devil was going to be saved. And he went to a prominent Bible school. If I told you, everybody know where it's at. And I brought him in and said, listen, you're relieved from your position. I can't trust you. You're teaching error. And he left the church. I said, I don't trust you with my children. Where did you get that? You went to a famous Bible school that I respect, but you didn't get that there. I know that.
Yeah.
So you're done with my kids.
Amen.
Now we do background checks on all the people and other stuff, too. We're very particular. But anyway, he got in there anyway. Okay, here's another one, a perverse spirit. I just told you about a man that had that on him. And that's listed in, let me see where my scripture, Leviticus 18:30. And 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7, where it says, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. He says, know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. In other words, if you let people stay in your church that you know and you're factual about it and they have some problems, that'll just spread like, you know, in your church. And we try to give people the benefit of the doubt and try to let people get enough word in them. They'll change themselves. But we just don't fool with things anymore. Of course, I'm not pastoring now, but nonetheless, anyway, you know what I mean. And then there's familiar spirits. 1 Samuel 28:7. And these are spirits that are familiar with you and your family. I've seen it on TV. I mean, you know, Oprah's probably had a few. And a lot of those daytime talk shows. And one time they had this lady on there. She was really, really articulate, really sharp dresser, sharp looker. And I brought my son in. I said, see that lady on TV, son? Yeah. I said, she's a witch. She's a what? She's a witch. I listened to her talk for 2 minutes, and I knew she was a witch. And they'll say, well, I see your Aunt Susie. And you talk to somebody in the congregation, the audience, you know. And says, I see your Aunt Susie wearing a red dress. Oh, she loved that dress. He's not talking to Aunt Susie. He's talking to a spirit that's familiar with Aunt Susie. All right, praise the Lord. I'm just going to let you go on that. Here we go. Now, let's go over to Ephesians 4. My goodness, it took me a while to get through that. And that wasn't a total list, but it's a good list to help us understand. Remember what I said, there's probably a spirit for every unholy trait and every strange thing that people get into that's taken them away from Jesus. But Ephesians 4, I mentioned this earlier, I want to read some other translations of this because I want to talk to you how demons gain entrance. And it says in chapter 4 of Ephesians 26 and 27, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, before you go to bed at night, make sure you forgave everybody.
Yeah.
Don't go to sleep with a grudge.
Yeah.
And like I told you before so many times, if you won't forgive people, Jesus said you're going to be delivered to the tormentors. And really, he doesn't have to deliver people. They deliver themselves by unforgiveness and resentment. And listen, listen to me carefully here. It's not that I don't care what was done to you in your past, but it don't matter if I know or not. You need to forgive them. Just learn from me. I'm telling you, you've got to forgive people. You know, back when I was dealing drugs, a guy pulled a weapon on me and threatened to shoot me. And I got married, and I told my wife, you know, after we got married, if I ever see this guy, I'm going to stop the car and murder him right on the street. She said, what? I said, yep, just letting you know. Kind of flipped her out a little bit. I mean, I was all for revenge back then, but I was just newly saved right then. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of the world in me, and the world's thinking. You do that to me, I'm going to get you back, but I'm going to double it this time. You know, that's the way I used to think. But I went to church, and I came out on a Sunday morning. Don't even remember what the preacher preached. I had my wife by the hand. I looked at her and said, I forgive so-and-so. And she about fell out on the concrete. And she was a Baptist. She was so shocked that I said, I forgave him. And then I went to another service one time, and a guy taught on forgiving people and making restitution. And I had forgotten this other guy that had a big mouth when I was a drug dealer. Me and another drug dealer threatened his life and said, if you don't shut your mouth, we're going to take care. We're going to shut it for you. And we knew people that we could put a contract on him, you know, for $500.
Yeah.
And he just disappears. Well, the Lord brought that to my attention. The guy's preaching. I said, oh, my God, I got to call Gary. I called back the information in my hometown where I was from and got his number and called him up. I said, "Gary, this is Michael Jacobs." "Well, hi, how you doing?" I said, "Do you remember?" He said, "The day you threatened my life?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm a believer now and a pastor, and I want to ask your forgiveness." He said, "Oh, I forgive you, no problem. I've had some problems with my marriage. Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." But see, God will put his finger on things in your life. Because see, if I hadn't have forgiven the other guy and I hadn't asked for forgiveness from the other guy, I may have still been in unforgiveness and revenge mode and thinking that I'm all that, but I'm not all that. I'm still thinking hatred and pay you back. And you got to get yourself out of that mindset. Doesn't matter who did what to you, you just need to forgive everybody. Let's read this again, verse 27. "Neither give place to the devil." Some of my other translations says, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." Yes. See, when you give the devil an opportunity, he'll take it. In another translation, "Do not give the devil a foothold." Then he says, "Anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil." Don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Is it possible to keep the devil from gaining access into your life? Yes. Anger is obviously one point of access, but there are many others we need to know as well. Don't hand the devil a key to your life. Do not give him a key to any room. You may not think you are, but many people do so unknowingly. I mean, I was in the ministry 2 or 3 years when the Lord dealt with me about this guy named Gary to call him up and repent for acting a fool. And at the time, I meant every word of it, but I was so embarrassed to have to call him. But God, he's the only person that God told me to call. I mean, he could have lifted 20 people probably, but he just said, "Call him. If you do that, you're good." I said, "Okay, I'm going to call him." And I was so sincere, and he knew it. And he said, "Well, I forgive you, Michael." Hallelujah. You might have to ask somebody you go home with tonight to forgive you. I don't know. You just figure this out with me. But you're going to have to realize. And I thought this was interesting. I wrote this in my book. Paul is writing to spirit-filled believers in this verse. It's not written to the heathen. Don't give place to the devil. They're already giving place to him. They've invited him to live with them. Isn't that right? Yeah, I mean, he's writing to spirit-filled believers. One of the most powerful churches in the New Testament, the church at Ephesus, had Paul and Timothy to minister to them. Golly, you know, it's pretty significant when you think, about it. Praise the Lord. You do not have to be uninformed or unequipped or in the dark. Everything you need to be effective and intelligent is in the Word, and we have the Holy Ghost to teach us. Now, so let's look at some areas here. First of all, fleshly activities. We already mentioned that. It's in Galatians chapter 5. I'm just going to read one verse that I have printed in my little syllabus here, Galatians 5:19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," and then it goes on and on, "partyings and different things like that." So a demon gains interest into a person's life through fleshly activities. Many of these are self-explanatory. Lasciviousness means a person who has no restraint. It's like those people you watch who hoard things in their home. Yes. Have you ever seen their homes? They're a mess. The devil is always dirty. Never forget that he's dirty in every way he can be. And so I even talked about people that came to my church. They smelled bad. They looked bad. They were unkept. That's the devil. That's not the only way to discern things. You've got to be more spiritual. But some people just don't know how to take care. They have poor hygiene because the devil has a troll on their life. They don't take care of themselves. And just because you slick your hair back and wear nice clothes doesn't mean you're not full of the devil either. Let me help you. But that is a trait that I've seen with some people that have come to my church. They smell bad, look bad, and are bad because they got issues. And Galatians 5:20 says, "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife." You know, strife is a killer. "Seditions and heresies." Idolatry means this: basically, you love something more than God. If I own anything that becomes an idol to me, I'm talking to you, I will give it away, sell it, or throw it out immediately. Anything. I will not have idols. If there's anything in my life that I just cannot part with, even if God asks you to, it has you.
Yeah.
It's your idol. Immolations mean trying to keep up with your neighbors. If they buy something, you want to buy something too to prove that you're as good as they are or something so goofy like that. And then I wrote, some people just live in strife all the time. They're angry and bitter and hateful. How do you think church splits take place? You don't want to get involved in the fruit that comes out of that sort of thing. Galatians 3, 14 through 16. And it says, if you're going to be in strife, there's every evil work. So that's a major doorway you got to keep shut. Don't matter your opinion. I have opinions too, but I try to guard myself. Occasionally something slips out and I have to apologize to people for talking. And I was over the edge, sweet Jesus. You know what I mean, over the edge?
Yeah.
Okay, so just stay out of strife. It destroys everything around you when you... Okay, let's see here. Ministers and sheep alike throughout the body of Christ have sometimes been involved in these things. And if any of these activities have been evident in our lives, we should humble ourselves, repent, and ask the Father to help us get back on track. Remember, the Holy Ghost is your helper, John 14, 26. The Holy Ghost is my helper. If you ask Him to help you, He'll help you. And if He puts His finger on something, no matter whether you want to agree, you just better be smart and say, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong, and I repent of that.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What I do.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, now here's another one. You still with me? This is how the devil gets inroads. If you're doing any of those things, the fleshly activities, again, if you do something one time, doesn't mean you're possessed. But if you don't close that door and you continue to do this on and on and you know, Dr. Dufresne called them church tramps. People that tramp around to every church until whoever the pastor is says something they don't like or they don't agree with. And then they go across town to our friend's church. And they stay with them for 6 months. And then he says something they don't like. So they're over somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about a word. I'm in the Word of Faith Church, Word and Spirit. But a lot of us that are in Word and Spirit, all of our members that couldn't take it, didn't want to live right, didn't want to function right, got mad at us, they're all in the big church, hit out. They're not. There's no move of the Spirit there whatsoever. Pastor gets up and says, we're not allowing no tongues in this church, you can forget it. And you're not going to speak in tongues in that church, or they will throw you out, the ushers would. Praise the Lord. I'm just. All right, here's another big door that we've got to close, rebellion. Demons gain access into a person's life through rebellion. Rebellion is when a person revolts against established authority. It could be in your home, towards your pastor, against your employer, or the government. I've had people come to our church and tell me, I don't like the way you do things around here. Can you imagine somebody telling me that? And then you tell me, let me tell you what I think. When I hear statements like that, I know that person is headed for trouble. Not because I'm hardcore, but they're just wrong. They didn't start that church. I was founding pastor. 1 Samuel 15:23 says rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. When somebody's stubborn and stubborn in the wrong, it's good to be stubborn against the devil. That's what I told you last night. Fight back. Push back on him. He's going to keep running to you if you don't push him back. And boy, when you get him back, just put it on him, stiff and hard.
Amen.
He won't stay around if you're quoting the word. I guarantee it.
Amen.
John Osteen said the devils would come by his house, but they never stopped because he beat the tar out of them a couple times. He said that. He said one of them told another one, don't go in that house. They will hurt you. Talking about John Osteen.
Yeah.
You know, his wife, Dodie, she had cancer of the liver, and they didn't give her any chance to live. They just sewed her back up and said, take her home, John. She's gone.
Yeah.
But he fought through, and she fought through, and she's still alive today. I just saw her recently in a meeting with Joel Osteen. My son went to see him in Louisville, and we went with him. He asked us to go. You know, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Rebellion. Let's go to Proverbs 17 with me a minute. You learn anything?
Yes.
Proverbs 17. We're talking about shutting these doors because it's important that we shut. Now, sometimes you know, those of us in ministry, we can help younger believers if they don't understand all this. Sometimes, and I've said it like this, when people are new to me and they're young in the Lord, even if they're 53, but they've never heard the word, they're still babies. And a lot of times God will help me to get them healed, get anything off their life that they need deliverance for, just because I know what I'm doing and he has mercy on them. But I tell the church this, and I've told them it several times. You're with me 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and you get something that's lethal, and you don't know how to believe God, I'm not going to be able to turn it for you. Not that I wouldn't try, but it won't work. Because you should have been learning when I was teaching you. Man, I'm preaching real good here. I got Pastor Debbie saying amen. The rest of you just looking like, oh, my God, is he for real? Yeah. I don't like funerals any more than you do, but, you know, if you're not going to pay attention, because as you grow, there'll be more responsibility on you. Not being mean, but you got to pay attention while you're healthy. Okay, I'm just trying to help people. Proverbs 17:11, look at this verse. Boy, it hits it right in the head. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger, and by the way, that is the word for angel or spirit, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. When a person's rebellious, there's an emissary, an ambassador of the devil that comes against that person because they gave themselves to rebellion. And start working on them, too. Cruel messengers do not come from God. They come from the devil. The devil and his demons do not work for God in any way. The devil is self-employed. I hope you underline that in your mind. It's in my syllabus. If you have a copy of this, it's in there. Hallelujah. The devil is self-employed. He's not employing demons to harass us or nothing. He don't want us tormented at all. He wants us to have peace and joy and love and strength. Hallelujah. All right. Now, so we just need to understand that. 2 Corinthians 2:10, we talked a little about it last night. I want to go back over it. It says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. 2 Corinthians 2:10. And then it's verse 11, at least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices or his schemes. If you're going to live free, I've told many preachers this when, you know, doctor would sometimes ask me to say a word, challenge the people we're going to ordain. And I said to them, you have to be quick to repent when you make a mistake and quick to forgive others when they make a mistake. And that'll keep you in good stead. Those two things right there. Be quick to repent when you missed it. Be quick to forgive others when they miss it. Yeah. And I said, unforgiveness is rebellion against the Word of God, and it creates an open door. It's like opening your door at night and leaving it open. You may not want the bugs to come in, but they will if there's an opening. It's the same with unforgiveness. You open the door to demonic influence. Having a good working knowledge of how the devil tries to do things will help keep us free. It allows us to close the door on him and not allow the devil any advantage. You with me? All right, let's talk about a couple more things here. I'm just about done. I haven't been going even an hour, if I'm thinking right. But I'm trying to get this into you the best I can. I only got 47 pages. No, I do have a couple pages. Oh, my God. All right. Now, these are things over 40 years that I made notes of that I paid attention to all the people I've ministered to. So there's one of these things or sometimes a combination of several. I mean, in good people, but in an area they had never been taught that, or they just enjoyed their sin, and we taught them so they could get out of that, so they could be really free. But here's another big one, especially in our day, and I could spend a lot of time on this, but abnormal sexual activity. I mean, it's so easy anymore to see anything in a hotel almost. You really got to be careful where you flip the channels. And my wife and I were watching a show. I like sometimes suspense or drama, and these two lawyers were females, and they were arguing their case in a courtroom, and I thought it was a good show. And it was 7 o'clock at night. My wife and I were watching it, and it goes to commercial break, and when it comes back on, shows the same two attorneys naked in bed, didn't show their whole bodies. I don't get Cinemax or Showtime. Just help you here. And they're making out. And I'm going, oh, my God, do you see that? And now all the mainstream shows, almost every night, they got Uncle Ernie that likes Uncle Freddie. And they're just together. Or Sister Sue and Betty now. They're together. You know, it's just wildness. It's all in. And my wife told me she couldn't sleep when I got up, was watching TV, and said there were people on there advertising sex toys. Listen, you better watch yourself. Well, I'd never think of that. I hope you didn't. But if you have, you better stop it. Or you get in trouble. I'm telling you. I can't believe the preacher said that. Yeah, I said that. Just to help you. I had a young man in my church. He's 22. He called me and said, I need to repent. What about? Well, my mom found an adult movie under my bed. I said, you're not going to tell me it's your friends, are you? They don't pimp me. He said, no. I said, well, how in the world did it get there? Well, I was out with my buddies and they stopped at an adult bookstore. Why didn't you get out? Why didn't you call mommy? You live with mommy. Why didn't you call mommy come get you? Why don't you put your thumb out?
Yeah.
You grew up in my church. Don't be conning me. Why don't you put your thumb out or just walk home?
Yeah.
Or call for a taxi or do something, but you shouldn't have been in there anyway. I said to him, well, you need to repent to your mother, you need to repent to God, and you need to destroy that. Whatever paraphernalia you bought out of an adult store, you need to destroy it. I don't mean put it in the trash where some other little kid can get a hold of it. I came to seminary in 1976. My wife and I, we're the drug world, especially me. She's a play with it drug person. I was the real deal. But anyway, we had about 500 albums with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And down the street from where we lived in Louisville, I was going to seminary. I was $1,700 below the poverty level. Both years I was in seminary, and God took care of me. But I had 500 albums. She had the majority of them, but still some of them were mine. And nothing good about any of them. And they had stores right around the street from me. Says, we'll give you a dollar for every album. I know you guys don't want to know what albums are, round circle things. That went around and they put a needle on it and it played. Okay. What's he talking about? An album. You're thinking a photo album. No. Okay. The older people understand me, I think. Well, we desperately needed money, but the Lord dealt with us. And me and her sat in the living room. I took a screwdriver and a hammer and broke every one of those albums. Because the Lord said, listen, don't sell those to some other unsuspecting kid like yourself a few years ago, Michael. Get that. Listen, it'll pollute their life. So I was cleaning house, kind of. You know, I was just new to seminary, and I was reading my Bible a lot more than ever before, and I came across that in Acts where it said they brought the occultic stuff.
Yes.
And I remembered I had some books in my library that were on Eastern religions. So I went and got them, and I took them out on the back porch. My wife went with me, and I put lighter fluid on it and set it afire. And when I lit that book, screams came out of it. Yeah. See, stuff has life in it. Really not life, but death. But it's a force. And stuff is written, and it's not about God, and it's not scriptural. I mean, my library at home, they shake on my shelf, because if I find unbelief, you're going in my shredder. I don't care who wrote it, what the author's name is. Bzz, 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 you're gone. Back to my 22-year-old kid, I said to him, well, he thinks he's a young man, but he's just a pervert now. He's watching dirty movies.
Yes.
I said, you need to come back to church. You hadn't even been regular in church in 2 or 3 or 4 years. Why are you calling me? Well, I needed somebody to pray for me. Well, I'm going to pray for it, but you better do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Or don't call again.
Yeah.
Do you really say that? Every word of it.
Yes.
And I, you know, I'm just not a play with it person. I wasn't playing with it when I was a drug addict. I'm certainly not playing with it being a lover of Jesus. I don't apologize for that either. I'm not mean to people, but I'm forthright. And if you come into our church and you think you're going to fool around with our sheep and mess people's life, you got another thing coming. Hallelujah. All right, I'm just talking to you here. We're talking about abnormal sexual activity. Don't be doing things that make you want things that you shouldn't want. You better get rid of that stuff. I said the same thing to one of my young men one time. He came privately to see me. I knew he had some problems because his daddy was messed up and everything. He had to defend his dad against his mother. You know, he was going to beat his mother up, and he just took, you know, he just laid into him. He's a pretty strong fella. And then he came to me and said, I'm going to start lifting weights, and I'm going to be in one of these, what do you call them, the body shows?
Yeah.
You know, where you pump up and everybody's watching you. And I said, I wouldn't do that, son.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say what I said. I said, before you know it, you'd be shaving your legs and wearing panties.
Come on.
Yes, right.
Come on.
You better stay out of that group.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weirdness in that. It's all flesh.
I'm telling you.
And sure enough, he was wearing dresses in a year or two later. Yeah, came back to church and I ministered to him. I rebuked the devil and he fell on the floor and started vomiting. The front row. And I addressed everything he'd asked God about before he came to church that day. I don't think Dr. Jacobs will take me back. And I said, I'll still be a father to you if you want help. But then he left again. I'm doing my part, but he's not doing anything. I'm sorry to be so graphic with you. I know none of you ever do anything. It's a perfect church. I hope that you don't qualify for deliverance. I really do, but you probably know somebody, your cousin or something, that needs help. But how about this one? Repeated indulgence in sins. Let's go to Proverbs 5 and look at verse 22. Repeat. When you do something over and over and over and over again, you got some problems. It says in Proverbs 5:22, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. When you continue to go back into darkness, whatever level, there's a cord wraps around you. And at first you can break it free and come back out and be halfway normal. But if you keep on doing that, that cord's going to entangle you like putting duct tape on somebody. And pretty soon you're not going to be able to get out of it. If I just put one piece of duct tape and taped Eric's arm to the chair, he could probably rip that up with his arm. But if I rolled 17 times around him with duct tape in that chair, if he gets up, the chair's getting up with him.
Yes, sir.
I'm just using that as an illustration. You know, I'm not saying anything about Eric. He's a good man, holy man. But I'm saying if you continue to do things over and over and over and over and over again, you're going to be in trouble. And your sins will hold you to that. See, that's the thing about unforgiveness. It holds you to the sin of other people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're not really hurting anybody but yourself. You're not hurting the person that did whatever they did to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're impairing your own faith life. Your faith won't.
Exactly.
Brother Hagin says if there's an air of unforgiveness about you, faith will not work.
Faith will not work.
That's pretty significant, I think. So we need to understand that there's cords that start wrapping around us when we're involved in something over and over and over and over and over. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you find yourself in that, come to the pastors and let them minister to you.
Yeah.
And for God's sake, be transparent.
Yeah.
I had a young man to my church. I got to be careful what I say. These messages get everywhere. He came to me and said that he'd been out and he'd been drinking and he had once been free from it. And I said, well, that's not all there is to it, is there? Yeah, that's all, Pastor. And I said, no, that's not all. I said, now I'm going to wait. Are you going to tell me the truth or not? And I finally said, if you don't tell me the truth, this will be the last time you meet with me for anything. I'm done with you. You understand me? Yes, sir. Okay, are you going to tell me the truth now? And then he just kept on. Oh, I'm telling everything that happened. No, you're not. I know Father better than I know you, and he says you're lying. And I thought you were a covenant person. I'm going to give you one more shot. Are you going to tell me the truth or not? Well, I'm telling. I said, no, you're not. Now, I said, if you're not going to come clean, I'm going to send you on your way, and I'm done with you. Because you're not going to come in here and lie to my face like this.
Yeah.
Not a man of your caliber that I've, you know, helped and loved you and you've loved me. And we've been in covenant for a long time. And finally, he broke down and told me, and there was more to it. I'll just say that. I said, well, you're going to have to go home and tell your wife about it. And I'm going to ask her if you told her, just so you know. I'm going to check up on your whatever you said to her. Because if you can't be transparent with her, you're not going to make it. But they all got it worked out, and they're moving ahead. Praise God, everything. But see, I just had to stay with it, and I kind of got kind of stirred up with him. Hallelujah. How about tragedies? How about things that happen, like I wrote in the book? Maybe the tragedy was the unexpected death of a loved one, or maybe a fatal accident involving a friend. Regardless of these events, can serve as opportunities for demonic access if a person is not vigilant. I remember my wife has a relative, I think she finally went home just recently, up in her 90s, but she buried one of her children when I think they were, I'm trying to remember now, 13 or 14. And this lady just buried, she was 90-something. So, but she was not a normal person. She let that one funeral destroy her whole life to some level. Wonderful person in a lot of ways, but you could just tell she was impaired by that tragedy. Don't let people make your life a tragic thing. I know things are not fun sometimes. Believe me, I understand that as a pastor. I've been a pastor for, you know, most of my life. I'm not now, but I have been. I've been with sheep for 40 years, helping them and listening to them and doing my best to love them and minister to them. I'm just talking to you. And life isn't fair, but Jesus is. And you need to do something about your, you know, your emotional something over so-and-so didn't go the way you thought it will. Well, maybe you didn't have faith. And maybe the person that it happened to didn't have faith. You don't need to be mean to them or mad about it, but just get over it and move ahead. Keep moving ahead.
Amen.
Dr. Summerall said, I lost all my friends 5 times. That's only happened to me twice that I know of in my lifetime so far. But every time I come into a new dimension, I find out who my friends are, who's going to go with me, and who doesn't believe it. Sure do. Especially with me coming into that prophet's mantle. So don't let tragedy set you back. Learn to deal with your own feelings and go to God and ask Him to heal you. If you're brokenhearted over something, say, Father, I need you to pour in the oil and the wine and restore me. And let Him heal you up. Don't let that be an exposed area where you always are sensitive, touchy, feely, you know, touchy-feely people. I mean, I tell you, I used to be just like that. I'd be high one day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3, and then down in the dumps for 4, and then up for 2, and down for 6, and up for 1, and down for 7. I'm not like that anymore. Because I went to the Lord in prayer, sincere prayer in 1978. I said, Jesus, I want to be just like you. I shot my mouth off. You know what He said? Well, you're not. And He said, if you want to be like me, Michael, you're going to have to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said, you're not. I said, I'm going to work on that. This is what, 2016? I worked on it. I conquered that. I mean, I've walked through all kinds of stuff, but I'm just the same. If you call me tomorrow, I'll be the same preacher I am today. You know? Hopefully I've grown a little bit, but since 78, but hallelujah. Don't let tragedies derail you. I can't tell you the amount of people, you know, somebody died, they didn't expect to die, like the preacher or something. Well, I'm not going to serve God if that's going to happen. Wait a minute now, you don't know everything. Does anybody here know everything? Maybe I'll sit down and let you come preach to us. Yeah. I don't know everything either. Yeah. All I do know what I'm talking about, though, because I've lived it and watched other people not live it. And they get all put out because somebody died or somebody this and somebody that. Hey, that's none of your business. Yeah. I'm being as nice as I can be, but the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. Aren't you glad God doesn't tell off on all your idiosyncrasies? All your strange fetishes you have? And don't look at me like you're so holy right now.
Right.
Everybody's got their... I got a fetish for shredders. I like shredders, okay? Just leave me alone. I was down in Kentucky preaching, and one of my sons took a picture. They have a big conveyor belt. They put school buses on, push the green button. Ah, I wanted to push that button. They got one that does mobile homes. They set a mobile home up on a big thing conveyor, and it goes, whoop, bzz, and there's no mobile home, just scraps. I love it. You got your own hang-ups. Leave me alone. I love the sound. Bzz, bzz, bzz. The storm knocked my neighbor's tree down. They had the wood chipper out there in the street. I started salivating. I said to Diane, if I put some overalls on, you think they'd let me shove something through there? Bzz, just comes little flakes in the back of the truck. When that's what you need to do with some parts of your life. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Get rid of it. Shred it out, baby. Shred it. Oh, my goodness. Let me just mention a few more real quick, and I'm going to really close here. Fear. Fear is a monster. You got to fight fear. Romans 8:15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Whatever you're afraid of, like Job, thing I feared came upon me. And 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Well, if he didn't give it to me, I don't want it. So it must not come from the Lord. And 2 Peter 2:8 says that the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, I think it's talking about Lot, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful. You got to watch what you hear and listen to, what you see. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you get jumpy watching the show, it's a pretty good indication you need to turn it off. I mean, some of the commercials anymore are horrific. I got to change the channel. It just, and I'm not a scared person, but I don't want to watch weirdness. All right. How about anger and violence? That's another issue sometimes, you know. And I told you a little bit about some of my background. Then there's drugs and alcohol. You got to be careful not to get involved in things. It breaks down your inhibitions. You know, when you get high or you get drunk or you even get tipsy, you know, it has effect on you. And all of a sudden, you're doing things you wouldn't have done if you were sober or would have done in your right mind. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I know a couple of years ago, I got a bad migraine headache, maybe 10 or 15 years ago now. And I don't know what happened. I mean, I just couldn't shake that thing. And I finally went to the hospital. And they admitted me, and they shot me full of morphine, which I forgot to tell them I don't like. And neuro person, she's a lady, she was a lady, a female doctor, not a female for females, but a doctor that deals with the brain. Yeah. She came in the next morning and said, I'm going to give you a spinal tap immediately. I'll be back in 5 minutes. She said, you look terrible. I said, okay, go ahead. Man, I was in so much pain with my head, I never felt that needle go in my spine. And they said, well, you got something that's invaded your brain, some kind of virus. We don't even know what it is. And so she gave me medication. I went home. I closed the blinds and laid in my son's room for 2 weeks. And very seldom even got up to maybe go to the bathroom. And I came out of those 2 weeks from taking that medication, I was paranoid. And my wife said, what's wrong with you? And I said, what do you mean what's wrong with me? You know, defensive. She said, honey, you act like you're afraid of everything. I said, well, I think it's the medicine opened me up to something. So she took me, and we went to Dr. Dufresne's meeting about an hour away, and I was sitting next to him. He was teasing with me. I wasn't in a good mood. You know, I hate to say that it was just the truth, but he knew I was messed up. Not then, but I had been messed up on that drug for 2 weeks, and it knocked me out. And in fact, when I came to myself, I said to the Father, I want 2 more weeks added on what I talked to you about my lifestyle, my life. I told you when I want to go home, but I want you to add 2 weeks because the devil stole that from me. He said, no problem. So Dr. Dufresne got up to preach, and instead of preaching, he just jerked me out of my chair and said, come out of him, and something left me. And I got delivered. See, that medication opens you up. I don't know if you remember the story. Doctor had surgery on his feet, and he was taking something. And he was at home by himself, and he said an angel appeared to him. And he said he had a lot of experience. I have too with angels. And he said, what are you here for? I'm here to take you to heaven. Said he was just messed up right then from the drugs, and then he caught himself. Said, no, you didn't. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. And he disappeared. It was a demonic spirit that had come and imposed himself like he was an angel from God. So sometimes some medications will do that to you. I'm not telling you to throw all your medicine away. I'm just talking. Are you listening to me? Real quickly here, occultic practices are forbidden. Don't get involved with stuff like that. And then last but not least, your words can give place to the devil in your life. Hallelujah.